Hello, welcome to the Starting Fall Thoshi Podcast. It's Not Popular, episode 238. My name is Justin.
And mine's Helen. Asking the universe how we once again found ourselves with entirely too much fucking news to talk about.
Too much news. One even broke late today. And I'm just like, why did I tempt fate? Why did I do this?
You keep being like, every time, wow, this is really big. I can't believe how big it is. And it's like, Justin, I've been telling you for literally years to stop speaking this nonsense into the universe. It is listening. It enjoys fucking with us. Just stop it. I've been telling you this for years. Listeners, he has not learned.
I have not learned a single thing. I'm like a little kid. Parents teach me anything and they still just ignore it or whatever.
It's like I need to put a leash problem on you and like to tow you away from something.
Oh, God. But okay, we're joking around a bit, but we gotta get into what we've been up to. Finally, after the past few months, really, because we had to catch up to news and everything we didn't cover, and then we had Winter 2026 impressions. And technically speaking, the only other Winter show for me is Metalist Season 2, which aired on Hulu finally after tens of years, whatever nonsense Disney. Hulu, whatever, right? That allows the rest of the world to watch it, except the U.S. Who knows? But it's finally on the service. So far, just the two episodes, no dub. Yes, it's just so confusing. But it's nice to see Inori, Tsukasa, and the rest of the many young gymnasts wanting to again shine on the ice, figure skate like crazy, and again, still pretty enjoyable. Hopefully, they get the dub. Some point on Hulu, that'd be nice. Why is Dizzy like this?
Weren't you sending me tweets from the guy who does the dubbing at Disney or something like that as well?
Correct. And that person could not obviously say nothing. I mean, as expected, he may be privy to everything that's happening, but he can't say everything legally. So
the mouse has eyes and ears everywhere.
They do. but yeah, just we keep wondering, why can't we have like something to take Crunchyroll's place, because other streaming services are incompetent. No disrespect, but yes, it is what it is.
No, full disrespect, man.
but aside from something like that, I finally watched Umusume Beginning of New Era, which meant that this is the first time I've been in a theater in generations. The theater experience was very lousy, but I will not get into all of that.
Just understand, dear listener, that it is basically what the theater experience has been for the rest of us for the past couple of years. It was just a new experience for Justin.
After like COVID years, it's been a long time. But yes, I don't think I like it as much as the other, like Umusume Season 2 and then the recent Cinderella Grey. But again, it's another great entry into the Umusume franchise. Obviously a fun film. Decent crowd. I've seen some shots about the crowds not being very big for certain locations. So I'm like, oh, that ain't good. But it's funny because I bought one of the tickets for Umusume and there was somebody that took my seat, but they didn't show up at the seat that I wanted to get originally. So like, it was bought. They just didn't show up. So I was fortunate about that. But I overall had a good time with the film. There was lots of luck about the characters. I somehow liked Dantu Flame the most out of everybody, which I don't know if that speaks to the whole, oh, I like the whole character who doesn't seem as talented but can still compete anyways. I'm not sure what that means, but great time, great film, great characters. Just some things I didn't really like about the pacing, and the music didn't really stand out to me like other Musume shows, but I had a good time. I may watch it again, but we'll see.
Justin has kicked off Year of Haunts in the most appropriate way possible. like I said in last week's episode, I did make time to start watching Journal with Witch. Everyone is correct. As I expected, you know, I've got a bunch of people on Blue Sky who've been crowing about this. I think I'm using that verb correctly. Crowing about this, you know, for a week, saying it's great. I enjoyed the first two episodes I saw. I've not had time to see more, but yes, I do intend to continue watching. It is simply a matter of time. Because also, yes, I'm still trying to catch up on the Olympics because I have a subscription for another few days and I am determined to cram as much Olympics into my brain as possible.
Yeah, you have to catch up to like peak. Because, well, okay, I think peak, but for Journal of Wish, you just got to also prepare to have your heart broken. at many times as you keep watching more episodes. Just throwing it out there.
I am slightly concerned about the number of people saying, oh yeah, this is so relatable, and they're posting things like, you seem to view interactions with anyone as scary, and it's like, guys, you're just telling on yourselves. Everyone, please go to therapy. Like, please talk with somebody. That sounds like social anxiety. You don't need to live like this.
I will unfortunately say for me, this show does feel relatable. Considering what happened to me last year, it's definitely hitting home for me.
Yeah, but your relatability isn't, oh yeah, interacting with other people is scary. Ooh.
To be clear, I just mean like in terms of just coming to terms with a personal loss, with that happening. That's what I mean. We'll get into total details about what happened to me last year, but
the people I've seen posting on Blue Sky are not coming from that air, from that same
right. Gotcha. Area. Gotcha. But welcome, Helen. It's definitely something that's definitely worth watching. That is for sure. All right. Are you ready to talk about? I mean, it's just personal for me. Like, is my personally one of the worst, or is the worst anime manga news I'm gonna hear? Hopefully this year we don't need any other worst news. I think we're ready to talk about news, right?
Yeah, I mean, you sent this one to me with, I didn't know you could have a case that was even worse than the creator of Rurouni Kenshin, which is when you know it's about to be some bad shit. Yeah. Literally, too. We're not going to get into those details, but literally, too.
Yes, so I will shout out ANN for at least like having a lot of detail about where they're getting everything sourced and everything and how things are going. But I'm sorry. It's no disrespect to ANN in this case. It's a little unorganized in this sense. So I'm not going to quite reference it, but I do hope everybody looks at it because it does have details on certain things, but I will shout out the strict algorithm, who's mostly a Shogakukan kind of focused like site. So they're the ones who have covering the cover up of the crimes of Shoichi Yamamoto, also known as Ichiro Hajime. And I wonder what does that particularly mean. But yes, so to kind of not sum it up because it's unfortunately very long, Shogakukan has released a statement, and I guess I am reading this straight off the blog from the post from Strict Algorithm. Shogakukan has released a statement that Jojin Kamen, written by Shoichi Yamamoto, real name, using the pen name Ichiro Hajime, real name Kazuki Kuruta, that this is where pen names is getting a little crazy, but I'm still going to refer to Yamamoto for most of this episode, I believe, or this section for sure, and illustrated by Ari Tsuyoshi, is going to see his publication be removed from the Manga One app due to his alleged past crimes of sexual assault. So, we have to go back a little bit in time. So, he had a notice series in 2020, Daten Sakusen. Sakusen, I'm just going to say it like that. That was canceled after his arrest. However, he was still brought on to write Jojin Kamen. Posts made on Twitter raised accusations of his sexual assault against a female student that occurred while he was a teacher in Hokkaido 6 years ago, and that the identity of one of the accused was Yamamoto. What makes it worse is that an editor from Manga One was involved in the court settlement, discussing how to handle settlements that essentially paid for the victim's silence in exchange for withdrawal of the plea. The victim requested that the defendant's arrest be made public if the series Daten Sasuken were to resume serialization, which was refused. So, at that time, it was first put on hiatus in 2020 to Yamamoto's health. Then, of course, he got arrested, indicted, and fined for the scandal. But then in 2022, it was announced that it would officially cease publication on Manga One in October 1st, with the reason being stated as ongoing personal issues, already very concerning. Then, of course, he came back, obviously, under the name Ichiro Hajime, and published as a writer, Jojin Kamen. So, going back to what happened here, on February 20th, 2026, Yamamoto lost a civil lawsuit and was ordered to pay 11 million yen in damages. At the time, his name wasn't revealed, and his name as a writer, Jojin Kamen, was not revealed. Then, of course, I think going back to the ANN article, it started to, I guess, start brought up when other news publications in Japan had started reporting this, and then on Friday, it pretty much blew up when Kyoto News Agency had eventually reported that, yes, this actually happened, and that required Shokugan's Maguma to issue a statement and an apology that, yes, that he was arrested and convicted of a sex crime, and they essentially had to cover it up. This eventually led to Shogakukan, which recently just announced yesterday that they got a 7 investigative committee that's going to include lawyers to clarify the facts of the situation, particularly to understand how the manga situation began and the involvement of an editor in the 7 negotiations. And at some point, they're going to report everything once they get everything properly sorted out. And from there, they apologize to the readers, to Tsuyoshi, the artist, and the other authors who write and draw for the publications, and all parties involved. So yes, once it blew up on.
To clarify, the artist had no idea that this pen name belonged to somebody who had previously. First off, what are we calling the guy? Are we just calling him Yamamoto? I think you said
Yamamoto. We're going to keep it Yamamoto.
Yamamoto's previous arrest, I do not believe was well known or all of this. Obviously, people had noticed when things went on hiatus, but did not know that was the cause. So our artist who was working on this series definitely did not know that this was A, Yamamoto, and B, the crimes he had committed. And there's even a note, I believe, in the ANN write-up saying that they never really even talked directly to him. All the stuff was just communicated someone listed as Narita, who we believe is the editor in charge, which... on its own, kind of makes me wonder a little bit how collaborative a series is then if the writer and the artist aren't in communication.
No, they were in communication, but in terms of face, I believe the artist said that they had met in a face-to-face, I think, once, but then from there they would just communicate to the editor, which, again, always interesting when you get that type of creation experience for work, I think. And I wonder if that is standard, but I think I can't make it get into that later on, but we kind of got to get into some of the other stuff. So yes, the news came out, everybody literally was in our uproar, literally everybody, the Japanese artists that work for Shogakukan, for Shogakukan's publications, they were very upset about this. Got manga authors outside of the Shogakukan, working for Shogakukan, that were very upset about this. So a few notable ones, I did not list all of them. You will have to either, at some point, I think somebody's going to put together a list. Maybe if I see it in time, by the time this podcast goes up, I'll put it in the script notes. But you had, from Shogakukan themselves, you had, again, you had Eris Yoshi, who had to put out a statement. This is the artist of Jojen Kamen. We had Konomi Wagata, who's the author of My New Life as a Cat, Kairu Mizuho, the creator of Magical Girl Dandelion, Sumito Ora, the Keep Your Hands Up Eizouken, Ryo Tamura Cosmos, Nujima's Mysterious Disappearances. Just from Shogakukan themselves and their roster, they were just upset and saying, this is awful, and get my stuff off the platform, get off the Magma platform. But they have outside of Shogakukan, Komomi Shirahama, the creator of Mob Psycho and One Punch Man 1. And you have even George Morikawa, the Hajime no Ippo creator, saying stuff about this. Oh man, I've never seen this before.
I mean, for One Punch Man, like, since his handle is One, he also had to put out a clarifying statement saying, I was not involved in any of this. I do not support any of this. This is not me.
Right, that also is true too, right? That you're correct. So yeah, so you have a bunch of, like, again, this is not the whole list. There are many more creators who were expressing their dissatisfaction about how Shogakukan handled this, and they had, especially Shogakukan, and within Shogakukan's, like, library, they requested their work to take out the Manga One app. You recently got today, I think it was announced, or people have noticed that Rumiko Takahashi's works and Tsukasa, Kanahito Yama's free run was removed from the Manga One app. And then, to be clear, these series are serializing obviously elsewhere, but I think Manga One was like hosting also these two, but now Manga One at this point has nothing at this point. Like, what do they have left? I don't know if they have a bunch left. So you had that happen. It was announced today that the 71st Shogakukan Manga Awards has been postponed. I am pretty sure we will not be done. This is literally like the first. Somehow, all this is the first part of a long, of an ongoing story, Helen. I am already concerned about what the ramifications are. Like, it's already really bad right now, but Helen, I am pretty sure the ramifications is going to be very. It's going to be dire. It really is.
Yeah, and as we said at the start, we're relying a lot on the write-ups from both the Strict Algorithm blog and ANN. If you go over there, you'll find more details about the crimes in question, and they are real nasty, I swear.
Yeah, yeah,
God, every time I've seen details about this, it is, like, it worse and worse.
I literally was getting up. Well, I mean, I was upset Friday when I saw it. Putting the script together today, I was just getting more and more upset that I had to list all this on the script. And I really don't want to actually say what happened. It's...
We'll just say that he was convicted of violating a Child Prostitution and Pornography Prohibition Act, for one thing.
Yeah, we can say
and
that.
And you could start... And you can decide from that whether or not you want to read more about it.
Yes. And I really don't like... I mean, this is literally stuff that you might see in a hentai plot. Like, literally. Like, you'll see, like, some sort of random... Like, whatever's out there, somebody has drawn it. I am pretty sure.
That's I feel like this would be a pretty nasty hentai, too. I feel like this would be the one where it would be, like, most people not enjoying it at all. Like...
Not... No, you're not...
Even for porn, there are levels of things that people enjoy or don't enjoy.
Like, we get into, like, what people enjoy and what they don't. And the problem is with manga, you know, it's just, you can do whatever, almost whatever you want. And that means you'll find an artist somewhere. But literally, that's the detail of level we're getting here. And it happened in real life. And it's not something going to happen in real life. It's just not. It really is not. So we're not going to report all that. But you can rest be assured it is bad. And you can, again, read the ANN article, and I don't think the Strict Algorithm, maybe they did, but I don't think listed it, but it might be there too. But and then I hate to say this, Helen, but I think there was even more details that were not on ANN's write up that I've just seen on Twitter, at least, about just because of how long the two have known each other, the victim and Yamamoto.
Yeah, I believe her teacher at one point.
Yes, was teacher. And at one point, again, to also point out, it's not just the victim did not just sue Yamamoto and Shogakukan, also sued the school. And it suggests also the school may have been also heavily involved in covering things up, too. Again, it's just stuff that was preliminary. It's just stuff we only just know for now. We know they're definitely involved in this, too. But whether they actually was that involved in hiding this, we will have to obviously let time and stuff sort that out, but they're definitely involved in this. They're definitely involved. But yes, let's see if we cover most everything. Let's see and make sure. Okay, I guess in general, like, I guess, yeah, what were your thoughts when you first got around to hearing about this?
I mean, my thoughts don't really matter too much here. Just,
yeah,
you
I guess
know,
that's true, yeah.
You know, wow, that's bad. I can see why a whole bunch of people don't even want to be associated with a online publisher that was aware of this, since the editor obviously knew the guy's legal name and knew why he had been forced to drop the series before. So whoever this editor was, again, we believe the person named Naruta in these cases actively helped try to conceal who this guy was, both to the audience and it seems like to the artist involved in this project. And that's real scummy. Just, if this was the U.S., I'd say you could sue over that. I don't know how it works in other countries. The U.S. is just also particularly sue happy. It's a branch of the government which is still somewhat functioning at this point. But yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, when my understanding is, again, this is Yamamoto, the editor, we mentioned Naruto, and my assumption is whoever was whoever was the editor in chief of Manga One at the time, I assume it was not just one editor. I don't think it was everybody Shogakukan who was aware of this, especially if you're getting intentionally obscured by, okay, this editor is saying this piece about a pen, again, it's pen name this guy, this is his real name. I guess it comes down to how much your background checks are going on here, which again, we'll get into Shotgun's background checks and everything pretty soon. It's going to depend on how extensive the cover up has been. But yes, what ultimately gets me is the fact that it was covered up. Like, imagine that the victim died. You realize Chicago, this particular Brett Chicago, they would still try to hide this. We would not have actually known the story at the level of beating and level of assault was just like.
Yeah. Justin, I don't think we need to go into additional details about.
You're right.
The victim went through. I think we've made it clear at this point that it was bad and that people can look up more, you know, if they're interested.
I apologize. You can tell I'm just really mad. But yes, they ultimately tried to hide that. And the fact that they did that only is cast aspirations of just what Manga One was doing, and then also by extension Shogakukan, because again, this is not kind of Shogakukan's first brush with incidents. They are not quite for what happened with Kriya Seki Tanaka-san, Hinako Ashihara, they are not alone in contributing to what happened to her in terms of her suicide. But it has been confirmed that they did not relay enough details properly. So there were definitely factors in what happened to her. And not going to say everything. There were just stuff that just went out all over Twitter about how Shogakukan operates and how they treated artists and editors and everything. But the only one for sure that is something of question is how they've handled Makoto Raikou's Zatch Bell series, where you can see in Wikipedia that they did have a civil case a time ago, and that whatever happened in that particular case, got Raikou to just eventually move on to Shogakukan, no longer have his works on this on with them, work, no, no longer work with them. There is definitely lots going on with Shogakukan, and none of it's really good. My guess, it's all just guessing here. Manga One is definitely done. I cannot see how you bring it back unless you not only get rid of every single editor that's in. This might be unfortunate because I'm pretty sure there are some editors who are not involved in this, but you just can't keep this as is. Whoever's not involved with the whole scandal, move them to another part of the department of Shogakukan. Other than that, I cannot see how Manga One exists, because you basically, for a very obscure author, they tried to hide this guy and they tried to keep him they went to a pen name so they can not even, because they knew if they put this out here with his real name, people would know. That's not acceptable. It's just not. Manga One itself is just not, I can't see existing much longer. I do think this has to raise questions about how Shogakukan operates. We know, obviously, they're not probably the only entertainment company that's trying to hide and cover up things like this. It'd be kind of naive to believe that they're not. Obviously, hope for the best. But in general, you see what Shogakukan's done here. What makes you think they're not doing it or haven't done this to any other creator who's had a very serious accusation that they're trying to just, hide? It's always a case where you obviously want to respect the creator's name and everything, because they have to have a little more life, because it's just not the same. These creators, they obviously want to have a normal life outside. That's why they keep their privacy and everything. You don't really see pictures of them. They obviously don't like to really say their gender and stuff like that. For some artists, they just like to keep things kind of unknown. But unfortunately, this type of incident does call into question, what could the industry be hiding? This is, it's just really sad. I feel really sad for the victim. The details of this, what she's dealing with, is just really, really tragic. It just really is. I really just hope that she can somehow get, heal. I'm looking for the right word for this. It's not coming to me, because I hope she's able to heal from this. I really do. Obviously, the family of hers, or the victim, can be better. And then obviously the artist, who was not involved in any of this, had no idea. Like, you work on a series, you basically been lied to by your.
It feels similar to Act Age in that point.
Yeah. And I got to wonder if Dragon structures enough to be like, okay, we messed up here. We totally get messed you up here. We got to make sure we take care of you. Will they be able to do that?
I doubt it.
And I have questions. I have real serious questions if they can do that. They're not Shueisha. They're just not. Like, it's pretty clear. As awful as Shueisha standards can be, somehow you can go worse than Shueisha. I didn't think it was possible, Helen, but yes, you can. I don't know what Shotgun's gonna be able to do. Like, again, there's gonna be more coming out of this, and whatever happens in their review process, it's gonna really shine a light on just how they've operated for years and years, and it's not gonna be pretty. So that's just my unfortunately wall, probably incorrect thoughts in certain ways, but like, it's just really like, I really just wonder like what's gonna happen in the industry moving forward, because this is serious enough to where I'm just like, it's sad, and I'm just thinking like this type of cover up is just hard to brush away. You're just not gonna get this is a stain that's gonna live with Shogun forever. It just is. I don't know how you really pick yourself up off of that. I don't really know. I could probably go on more, but
I know you could go on more, but we've already been going on for a little bit. We can talk about the reporting, but there's nothing that either of us can do about it in this situation.
Yeah, at this point, I've said my piece, and again, if more stuff comes out, which it will, we'll talk about it in future episodes.
Okay, so 30 minutes in, we are moving on to our second major news story, which only happened like less than 2 hours before we started recording. So the only information about this so far is in a paywalled Japanese website. So forgive us for being light on the details. But Seventh Seas has been bought by Mediado, which is considered to be the largest ebook distributor in Japan. Although they did sell off their shares of My Anime List last year, they are definitely they're both an ebook distributor, and I believe they are also a publisher in and of themselves. They acquired Seventh Seas for $80 million. So that means that we no longer have any major English manga publisher houses that are independent. This means that now all of the big titles, Yen Press, Kodansha, Viz, Seventh Seas, all of them are now owned, at least in part or wholly, by a Japanese publisher, which is not my favorite place to be in, especially since this means that previously Seventh Seas had the flexibility to license from multiple different companies. Obviously, some places like Viz are known to have right of first refusal if someone else wants to get one of their Shogakukan or Shueisha titles. That's how you end up with things like Oshinoko over at Yen Press. But now Seventh Seas will likely be much more locked into licensing titles that Mediado already has in Japan. Perhaps this will help them with licensing costs in the long run. Perhaps this is a sign that Seventh Seas licensing acquisitions have gotten a bit pricey, and so they were looking to be bought out. Don't know if this means anything much for the union, since Japan is not very union-friendly, although it doesn't sound like the Seventh Seas union has actually been able to make a much of a difference in people's lives. I'm sure it's made some, but it doesn't sound like it's been able to do much because the U.S. is also not a union-friendly country at this point. But we are waiting for more news about this. It came out of, it's got like a 5 a.m. timestamp on there, so I doubt there's even much more reporting on this on the Japanese side yet. So, yeah, we'll definitely be talking about this in the future. Also, annoyingly, this happened like an hour after Seventh Seas gave a panel at the all-virtual CitrusCon. So, while we know that Seventh Seas once had a 20-minute discussion about cuckolding, we do not know what this Mediado acquisition means for future internal staff discussions about cuckolding, I guess.
I think one other thing that happened in this Citrus panel was they asked, why did you acquire something like Buck Nick in another world? And I'm like, well,
I'm assuming it sells.
It sells, yeah. It pretty much sells. Yes, I guess, where do I want to start? Yeah, they had their panel there, and it's always funny when they have a panel. And I think I was seeing notes about how they were still, like, talking about how they're, like, the number one independent publisher out there. Ooh. But obviously not
so much. And I believe that one was live. I do not believe that was a pre-recorded panel. I know that some of the ones at CitrusCon were live and some were pre-recorded.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was live. I'm pretty sure it was live.
I meant to sign up to go to CitrusCon virtually, but I forgot. But you have to pre-register for that.
Okay, as Helen mentioned at the start, that this is obviously literally like it happened 2 hours ago. So there's still things that I think has to be clarified, and obviously I assume at some point 7C's also in their own press release. They only just said their press release for their BL stuff they announced today, which we'll get into later. So it's still early. So we're obviously gonna speculate, but we will caution that we still have much to learn about this partnership. The only thing I will just say is that, again, it's so early that we don't know what this will, how this will impact, whether they can publish or anything else. My understanding is Media Do is not like a Shueisha Shogakukan. They kind of had their pots in like almost everything because they're like the largest ebook distributor. So I think they're working with most of these publishers already. So in a vacuum, I don't think it's going to affect like if they can license for certain places at this point in time. My only real thing is that we were talking about, like, and you mentioned this when you said it, the prices are just getting too expensive, because my theory is if you're getting purchased, it's only because like it's costly.
and we mean cost of licensing things, not your ebook cost.
Just print cost, licensing cost, literally everything. We've kind of It feels like when you just see things going up all the time, like at some point, is that going to be beneficial to you in the long run? And it appears at this point it's not working out, or at least 7C's is feeling like it's not going to work out moving forward if they just stay independent. And I assume MediaDo, I guess this partnership works for them, and I guess it's technically for 7C's. So, yeah. So, again, we'll probably talk about more if we get more relevant news moving forward. But yeah, it does mark kind of the end of, we really used to have like independent publishers for the most part, but over time it just seems to like more Japanese publishers trying to get overseas and try to have more of an overseas presence. I guess it really started, obviously I was started with, I mean, this has been a long like Shogakukan Shueisha relationship forever. I was in that Yen Press, then we still had J Novel Club, then we had Square Enix themselves entering the market instead of having their stuff go to Yen Press or any other publishers. So I guess it's like a really a long time thing. Like, are you still going to be independent for so long if you want to, especially you want to grow? So yeah, it's unfortunate, but I think that's just the way the industry is going to move. So yeah, no other further thoughts. We'll have probably further thoughts once we get more news about 7C's and MediaDo. I think we talked about some really big news, and we still have, we unfortunately have just really sad news to actually talk about here. Man, just really just what a start to this episode. So the staff for Himitsu no Aipuri had to cancel the Ring Ring Live in Osaka concert events. I think it was a few weeks ago. The project's website explained that the staff confirmed online posts demand the event's cancellation, as well as threats even to companies tied to the event. So they talked to the authorities, and then after they filed a formal complaint to the police, they pretty much realized it wasn't going to be safe to actually do the event, so they had to cancel it. Yeah, very rare to get, like, concert cancellations. This is, like, the first time there's, like, been public events that's been canceled in Japan before due to threats, but in terms of concerts getting canceled, really doesn't really happen too often.
Yeah, I feel like it's much more common for us to see, like, a handshake event get canceled, where the performers and the audience are going to be much closer together. Something like a concert where, you know, there's going to be some distance in between people, that suggests a different level of threat to me. So that's concerning, and I hope that they're able to reschedule this and hold it at some other point since, you know, I feel bad for the fans and performers. You know, none of them wanted this, except
Right.
for whoever decided to be a jackass about it.
Yeah.
Let's see. So we also, this is, I was debating with Justin before the podcast if this is important or not, and I was saying yes. So we're talking about it. ShoPro Books, which is Shogakukan Shueisha Productions, announced that its contract to publish Marvel Comics titles in Japan will end on March 31st. So in line with this, the company will gradually discontinue sales of currently available Marvel comics. It's gonna roughly end around September 30th, I think, depending on their supplies. As I recall seeing people talk about on Blue Sky, apparently Justin did not see people talk about this on Twitter, but I seem to recall that this agreement also was what enabled Japanese creative staff to do collaborations and new works involving Marvel comic properties. So I believe that with the end of this contract, we are unlikely to see, say, another person does a new spider thing in Japan, or at least you would have to set up a whole new contract for that. So I suspect that that means that this era of collaborations and crossovers that we've been enjoying for the past a little bit before the pandemic, you know, especially as Marvel's been trying to get become bigger and bigger until it's become too big in the pop culture area. I suspect that era is drawing to a close.
Yeah, I'd be very curious to see how long Viz will be able to publish some of their Marvel comics
Yep,
manga type of works.
that was one of the questions people were having on Blue Sky.
Because if I guess if Japan's going to be ending it around September, what incentive does Viz have to be able to finish all that? I know they're
Well,
still
no. The contract ends at the end of March. They think that they're going to have enough already printed comics that will last them through September. It's that after that
No,
point,
no.
there probably won't
Right.
be any for sales.
My thinking is we were talking about like stuff like Deadpool, Spider-Man, like stuff that the manga versions of those, correct?
Yes, but they're going to have to stop printing them in Japan on March 31st.
Right. But my
I don't know if this affects any of the contracts that Viz itself has with Marvel Comics regarding licensing, etc.
That's what I'm wondering. Like, does it affect
I do
that?
not believe
Would it
so,
be would it be a
but
scenario? Wait, I'm sorry. Would it be a scenario where Deadpool is still they got to still finish up publishing Deadpool in print, but it's not able to be in Japan? So do we still need to be able to print it more?
yeah,
They
I
haven't
mean,
finished it yet.
the AN article mentioned specifically what is happening in Japan, not what is happening in the US. So I do not believe it would necessarily have any impacts on Viz's current licenses. But Viz is owned in part by Shogakukan and Shueisha. As we mentioned earlier, they are one of the major American manga publishers, which means they are owned by a Japanese company. But I do not believe that this contract affects them licensing things which were licensed by Japan from Marvel in the first place.
This is very much a case where only time will tell, really.
Yeah,
But,
there was a Comics Pro conference or such in like the last week and a half where a bunch of this stuff was being talked about, and I was reading threads of it on Blue Sky. I meant to send some to you, but I didn't, and I thought, eh, Justin's probably been reading it on Twitter anyway. And I guess not. I guess these people aren't also putting it on Twitter, so.
I've also been distracted by trying to catch up to things, so. Anyways, I guess one of the, I guess we got what positive, actual positive news right now. So Manga Mavericks, they've entered a distribution deal with Pathway Book Service. As they stated on Twitter, they're gonna have their books now available. Their print books, to be clear, available more consistently on like places like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Books A Million. So that means I can actually tweet their stuff if I see it on those services on as a pre-order, it's on Twitter. I can finally do it, or on social media, I should say. It can finally happen. Congrats to them, because obviously they've been trying to get something. I assume they've been trying to get something done for a while. So, yeah, good stuff. Good news to talk about.
And then we have a couple of deaths to report. Animation studio Kinema Circus, Citrus, announced that the Gift-O Animation Studio's founder and former president Satoshi Mori died on February 20th after battling an illness for some time. He worked on a couple of different anime series, but apparently is most well known for being the producer of many of the Card Fight Vanguard anime. The talent agency Haikyo announced that voice actor Masaru Ikeda died on January 31st due to a heart failure caused by the medical term for a heart attack. He was 83. And so Anna notes that he voiced many of the mecha robots that appeared in the 1977 Yatterman TV series, and lists off a whole bunch of them, which I do think it's kind of amusing. You know, you just get one guy and you could just do a really good robot voice, I guess. He did things in other series as well, but apparently he was just really good at that robot voice. And also from a little bit ago, but the news only came out recently, Vertical Publishers co-founder Iona Mentes has passed away. Kodansha announced this. I do not know if they said how old he was, but he, along with Hiroki Sakai, founded Vertical in 2001, and then Kodansha bought the company in 2011, which is why it now functions more as a imprint of Kodansha than anything else.
Yeah, I heard that. I was like, oh no. Because I feel like I've heard that name. Yeah, I heard that name before, I feel like.
I don't feel like I had, but it's possible I was just missing it.
I believe Ed Chavez, he's the...
Yeah, I know he went to his funeral, but...
I imagine it's still not which one, especially because it's... I don't think it's still, 53 or 54, still pretty young.
Yeah.
So, sincere condolences to his family and friends, and also condolences to Toshimori and Masaru Ikeda. Had to make condolences to friends and family to them as well. All right, I'm gonna transition over to the licenses that happened.
Entirely too many licenses.
We finally had the rest of the stragglers announce their stuff, because we had Yen Press announce their stuff, Seven Seas.
Stragglers from what?
I don't know. Just like this run, for some reason, February was that one random month where everybody had to announce stuff. Jane Album Club had to announce their stuff. But then it's like, okay, at some point, Viz got this. Square Enix got announced this stuff, and I think Square Enix announced their stuff before Viz did. But then Viz said, "All right, fine, let's flex some muscles or whatever muscles we actually have to announce the following titles." So they've licensed Yuginatsu, Minouji Kurata, and Tokushino's The Apothecary Diaries, Mamoru Sosone in the Palace, aka the other Apothecary Diaries, not the one published by Square Enix,
aka the one where the creator or the mangaka for it was at Otakon last year, which was just a little awkward that their best known thing wasn't even licensed over here.
So this one's published by Shogakukan, which is why Viz is publishing this, not anybody else. Took them long enough. Looking forward to figuring out what the heck is up with this, I guess, other version of Apothecary Diaries. Like, what is going on in this one? What is Mamoru getting up to in this one? I am looking forward to finding it out. And look, if everything goes right, we're going to have it on the Viz Manga app. It's going to be great. Fantastic, even. They licensed Kotoyama's... Well, I say licensed, but they had this on the Viz Manga app as well. I guess it's a matter of time. So they have Kotoyama's Called the Night Paradise Arc. In terms of new stuff, licensed Ino Asano's Heroes, Shuzo Oshimi's Sound of a Blink. Kind of a stunner, but then again, this was published in Shogakukan magazine, so I guess it makes sense that Viz gets this one. They licensed Power Itagaki's Witching Hour, Blix Production and Gooseworks, and Sakura's The Amazing Digital Circus.
Which I think is an adaptation of the American web series.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Akihisa, Maki and Miki Yatsubo's Albus Changes the World, Asato Shima's The Seaside with Dragon Boys Dwell, Yori Katakura's Yakuza vs. Cat, Esio Mori's Shiba Inner Rooms. This sounds familiar. Yes, this is on Manga Plus for about a good year or so now, I think. They licensed Agatha Christie and Aya Nikairo's And Then There Were None, Renka Misaki and Yuto Suzuki's Sakamoto Days Assassin Blues light novel. Excuse me.
There's something very funny about being like, Agatha Christie has a new thing out, you know? Agatha
Yeah,
Christie, who has been deceased for a while now.
Gotta have it in manga form, Helen. Gotta have it in manga form now.
How else will the kids read it these days?
We have a. They're gonna have 3-in-1 editions of Mizuho Kusanagi's Journal of the Dawn. They actually licensed a bunch of picture books, kind of horror themed. I had to note this one because it's like if there's a licensing event. Junji Ito's gotta be involved somehow, right?
Yeah.
So they licensed Soshichi Tonari's horror picture book, Looking at Me. But yeah, again, this is no but illustrations by Junji Ito. They gonna release a box Sex of the Following, My Hero Academia box set 2, Jujutsu Kaisen, Black Torch, and they're gonna have another box set for One Piece. This is gonna cover the one of the Egghead saga, I believe. Then they have art books, My Hero Academia Ultra Artworks, and then Dorohedoro illustrations, Mud and Sludge, and final bit of news from them. They gonna release the Studio Ghibli Chronicles book. They also have some cookbooks and stuff, but I was like, okay, I don't think we really need to know all that.
Yeah, they license cookbooks every now and then, but that's, you know, kind of beyond the scope of what we're interested in here. All right, so, like I said, entirely too many people are doing licenses these past couple of weeks. Square Enix also licensed a Apothecary Diaries related thing. Natsu Hyuga, Itsuki Naono, and Toko Shino's The Apothecary Diaries Shaolin Story. This is why Justin told me to practice this pen name before the podcast. Gyu Nyu Mu Gigohan's Boyish Girlfriend.
Whoa! You said that great.
See, when I don't have to sight read these, I can actually do it. The problem on this podcast is that I am trying to read all these while seeing them for the very first time. Mugimo's My Ex-Boyfriend Loves Boys Love. Yu Yodogawa's Stalker, Stalker, Stalker. Suncha's Yang Can't Live Alone. Shinichi Fukada, and you should have told me practice this one too. Chobo Ranyo Pomi's My Dress Up Darling XOXO. My Dress Up Darling Season 2 Official Anime Fan Book. And Asaki Asagiri and Celine's The Princess Groom.
Okay, funny. I know
The Princess Groom has been over digital only on places like Renta before, but I'm guessing this is just a more formal release.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Because I had tried it out before it was even on Renta, so yeah. Moving on.
Yeah, sorry. The only thing I was going to point out, sorry, I do apologize. I totally forgot about the Chobora Yopomi author. I totally forgot about that one. Sorry, Helen. I should have given you some of that one. So, all right. Sublime, they announced a couple things during the Valentine's Day event. They licensed, again, More Boys Love, Pulling Sunshine Hades, Fumi Tsuyuhisa's Robin in the Veil of Night, and Natsui Kizu's Give and Tempt Mix. Seven Seas, they announced the following titles at the Citrus Compound today. Yuhiro Megu's Wolfhound, and they licensed two Haitai Cuckoo titles, Stranger Western BL and Merchant. So more BL for the BL fans.
And then K-Manga has also added a number of licenses to their service. Michi Masaki's Tell Me Dear Butler, Robico's To Dusk and Twilight, and Jun Watsuki's Promise Me the Spotlight. Takumi Graphics, which is a spin-off of Fantagramics, has one of the most surprising licenses of the year. Gengoro Tagami's Do You Remember the South Island's POW Camp? I think I have heard tales of this manga before, and I cannot believe that ever got licensed here. Tei Monaka and Komari Kuro's All-Rounder Maid Connie Vila has been licensed by the newish publisher Crossed Hearts, the one who I keep confusing with Crossed Infinite Worlds. I'm doing better about that, though. And finally, Eike Shimamizu's The Maid I Admire Looks Good of a Cigarette is now on Manga Up. I believe I know at least three people who will be interested in that by the title alone. Possibly five.
Manga Mirai is really trying to branch out. I used to know them as like they're going to just publish stuff from like other companies, but now they're like trying to get their own stuff out there, I guess. So they've licensed or have the following titles in the service now. Suisse, Kairi, and Lana's. There was a cute girl in the hero's party, so I tried confessing to her. The manga, this is all, by the way, all this I believe is based off of light novels, but these are the manga versions. And if it
That
this
does sound like a
particular
light novel title.
title, I know the anime is airing right now, I believe. So if you want, I guess if you're watching the anime right now, but then want to check out the manga, it's on Manga Mirai. They've also acquired Fuji, Tomato, Rizuno, and Yuichi Murakami's the supposedly useless potion turned out to be soy sauce, so I started cooking with it. Chira, Shinora, Chunike. Chunike? Okay, don't know why that. I don't know if I'm thinking of Chumio and Chunike, but okay. And Ogipote's cheap magician life that started from being judged useless. And they licensed Kagi, Kinoko, Miba, Narumi, and Kakao Hatan's the healer who was banished from his party, is in fact the strongest. This got anime a couple years ago or something like that, but it's now been out in the manga version.
I feel like you have like balanced your party wrong if the healer is the strongest one in there. The healer's not supposed to be like DPS or anything.
In this particular world, they are the strongest now. Ha!
The balance of this world is screwed. All right, my turn again. Kodansha's Print Club announced a few more titles. They are going to be bringing over more Cells at Work manga in print, and although okay, so the title of this one is Cells at Work Lady. So the blurb says, from periods and pregnancies, it can be an emotional ride, especially when you're the size of a cell. I'm kind of interested, not gonna lie.
Yeah.
And then following up on some news from last year, folks may remember that the founder and essentially sole employee of Starfruit Books, Matt Hirsch, passed away. Sorry, Matt Hash passed away very unexpectedly, very suddenly. And so it was a little bit in limbo what was going to happen with their catalog and licenses. Glacier Bay Books has said that they had been working with Hash's mother, who I guess was his next of kin when it came to wills and such. And going forward, Glacier Bay Books has acquired its back catalog and its licenses, so they are looking to publish, it sounds like, both the upcoming licenses and to keep in print the older licenses. They don't have a timeline for any of this yet, which makes sense since this is a decent number of books to integrate into their line, but this is what is going to be happening going forward. And I think about the best outcome we could have expected. I had been thinking myself that if anyone was likely to pick up their books, it would be Glacier Bay, since Glacier Bay and Starfruit had similar interests when it came to the titles they were publishing.
And my
And
understanding
Glacier.
is they knew each other too, so.
I mean, this industry is so small, everybody knows each other. Like, heck, I was telling Justin before this podcast, I went to follow the strict algorithm blog, on Blue Sky, and I found the account was already following me, and it's like, what did I do for this to happen? And it's not like they're just following anyone indiscriminately. And Glacier Bay Books also had some more usual license announcements. They have licensed Combs, Shitsugaki Shitsu short story collection, and Naoto Yamakawa's Basement Attic short story collection.
You did so well with the boyish girlfriend author
Listen, it's
name.
because I got to practice that one. Most of the time, I'm trying to do this, having seen a name for the very first time. And we all know some of these pen names are just real silly.
I will just point out, thank you, Glacier Bay Books. Obviously, it's really difficult to just have to take over an imprint, and especially in the manner they have to, but they're able to do it, and I can only commend them enough for doing what they can to try to keep on with what Matt was going to try to do with Starfruit Books. Again, it's obviously it's going to take some more time to get things in order, but I really am hoping that things work out for them and it doesn't really like heavily impact them. And in fact, I hope it actually just still like I hope it does like hope they're able to whether do any continue to move sorry continue to keep Matt's legacy going on. So really hoping for the best for them moving forward. Okay. We have some anime licenses, not too many, but we have a few. So Media OCD and Anime Ego have announced they licensed Master of Martial Arts and Sketchbook Full Color S. Both of these anime are supposed to be or expected to be released at some point this year. And then they also announced a new round of Discotech Deep Dives, which I am not sharing all of it. It is a very extensive list once again. But I will obviously link to the A&R article that lists what's going to be on their pre-order list for, I think it's actually this month that they're already out. This was announced, it was announced a while ago. So I think the pre-orders for these are up already. So look out for them.
That's reminding me, we didn't even talk about how Right Stuff is no longer going to have, Crunchyroll is no longer going to have Right Stuff's old warehouse in Iowa that's being sold.
Yeah, I don't think... And a funny twist, I don't think A&M reported on that. Which, if you notice, listeners, we're most of our news is just sourcing, just looking at A&M, just seeing what they're covering.
I mean, I saw about it partially because Lindsay, you know, A&M's managing editor, you know, was posting about it on Blue Sky. A quick rundown of that whole situation is that even though Crunchyroll bought Right Stuff several years ago, apparently they did not buy the warehouse itself. That continued to be owned by Sean Kleckner. You know, the founder of Right Stuff, and it appears he is now selling it instead of continuing to collect rent from Crunchyroll for many years. And we know that it is him selling it because the address for the business owning it that is selling it is his apparently $1 million house in Iowa. I've had other friends since then saying, yeah, I used to see him on Zach Bershey's Facebook page, and he kind of seemed like he was an anti-vaxxer, so...
That went places, Helen.
This is why you gotta be on Blue Sky, Justin.
That was not where I was expecting that to go when you bought off the $1 million house part in Iowa.
This is why you gotta be on Blue Sky. Maybe this will be the year I finally convince Justin to have like a nominal Blue Sky account. No, I don't think it will, but you know, I'm gonna try.
It's still not happening. Let's see. We have Discotech. We got more licenses, but not too many again. For the most part, just re-releases. They're going to re-release The Rules of Versailles Television Anime in one collection. It's going to be titled The Lady Oscar, The Rules of Versailles Complete Collection. And they're going to collect the releases of the five Lupin the Third television specials from 1994 to 1998 and the Lupin the Third TV Specials Collection 2. But the big news that they, the big license was the 1988 Pat Labor Early Days OVA series, and it's going to release with both the English dub and obviously have Japanese subtitles. I believe a new Pat Labor anime series came out this year, so obviously timing up with that too. And more mech fans, especially older mech fans, they will be very impressed and happy. Always good.
And then in a truly strange license from Sentai, they've announced that it and Distribution Studios are going to be releasing Heavy Metal Lil Game on Blu-ray this year, which is a 54-episode TV series from 1984. The blurb says, in 1984, fresh from the creation of the legendary Mobile Suit Gundam, director Yoshiyuki Tomino teamed with the young designer who would later make the five-star stories, Mamoru Nagano. I do not believe this had really been licensed in the U.S. before. It did stream on Daisuke previously from February to June 2017. But, yeah, this one's a real weird pickup. I don't know too many people who are looking to have the game. Like, I know people who know of it, but
you say
it's kind of by surprise.
You say weird, but I feel like Seven Seas did some of the past couple of years where they just licensed that one random mech show out of nowhere. They did something like this last year, I believe.
You mean Sentai, not Seven Seas?
That's what I said. I always say Sentai. I thought it was Sentai. I mean, I always say Sentai Filmworks. But yeah, I meant Sentai. They did license something last year. I can't remember. It's talking about the G, I think. I can't remember it off the top of my head. But just that random owner. Oh, and their press. Yeah, they licensed some sort of Leiji Matsumoto title too, didn't they?
Galaxy Express?
Something last
Queen
year.
Queen Esmeralda?
I don't remember.
Actually, I think it might have been Queen Esmeralda, because I know someone who's real big into Leiji Matsumoto, and they've been happy lately.
They seem to just randomly, oh, we had the home, we got to share what we're going to put in home media, and just list, oh yeah, here's this one random thing we're just going to announce here. Typical Sentai. Typical Sentai. All right, time to move on to some of the streaming news, and we got a really
Oh God, we're
varied
not
amount
even
of
there
stream.
yet.
We got a varied amount of streaming news this week too. But okay, but first off, we got to talk about the Madoka Magica World Purges Night, World Purges Nacht Rising anime film, which I'm not getting into how the numerous delays that's happened. We talked about it last episode, or yeah, I think the last episode we talked about the delays. But now we have a date, August 28th in Japan. And I'm putting it out there in the universe too. I guess with Aniplex, I guess Studio Shaft, I think is working on this. If you do not screen exactly August 28th, you will be in the rear new section if you delay it one again. Once again, it's
And
gonna
see,
happen.
I am taking the opposite tact of if it actually it does air, then that is going to be the weirder news.
So what you're saying is the win-win in terms of we're gonna be on weird news one way or
Yes.
the other.
So, Akane Bonanshi is possibly going to have kind of a weird streaming situation. TV Asahi has announced the anime's full episodes will stream for free on YouTube in North and Latin America. So we don't know if it's going to be streaming anywhere else. Or if it'll be just on YouTube. Bit strange. I also want to note that I think this has happened before, but not frequently. The world premiere of this series is actually going to be at New York City's Japan Society on, I think, April 1st. And then the date the anime actually starts airing, April 4th, there's going to be a special event for it at Anime Boston as well. Justin has said no, he's not actually going to go to the Japan Society one in New York City and get, the freebies there. Despite living in, a big city with cultural capital, Justin refuses to take full advantage of it because
I mean,
apparently he has not yet read the manga for it.
I was gonna say I haven't gotten t haven't made time to read the manga yet.
It's been going for long enough to get an anime, Justin.
I'm just overwhelmed with so much stuff. I want to read this. I want to read that. Oh, that's interesting. Well, at least I gotta watch this. It's interesting. And I just
And
move
instead,
on
you just
and
reread
move on.
Bookworm.
Oh yeah, that has happened, unfortunately.
Yeah, multiple times.
No, the problem is J Novel Club is putting out the manga right now, so it's just
See,
like
your defense is not helping you, Justin.
No, I'm unfortunately accepting that this is my issue. Like, I'm accepting it. Every time it happens, like, oh, I read the, oh, I gotta read this part, how it happened to Light Novel once again. Like, wait, no, why am I reading this, why am I reading this other volume? Like, why? Stop, please. No. It is a sickness. I am sorry. It is very much a sickness. Oh, and by the way, did you do know that they did reveal that the next couple set of
Justin.
characters? Okay, we gotta keep going. Helen's gonna just bite me after this podcast.
Thought you said bite me yet after this podcast at first, and I was like, well, yes, but
All right, everybody get. Oh, wait, no, I'm skipping one thing. So we got a couple screenings in theaters. So we got, or premieres, I should say. Also, Anime Central is going to screen the U.S. premiere for Goodbye Lara, the anime. So it's going to
It's
happen
a
soon enough.
movie, I
Oh, sorry,
think.
movie. No, it's the original anime. I think this is supposed to air. Yeah, it's supposed to debut in July. Anime. Yeah, it's coming. It's anime that's going to air in July. But with
Oh,
this
interesting.
Anime Central is going to be the U.S. premiere for it, so that is very interesting for sure. And then get ready for a 4K Kiki's Delivery Service, everybody. That means me. So G Kids is going to screen it, 4K restoration in North America, March 13th. It's going to be, I think, both options, sub and dub. Will I watch it? I think I'm going to try, but we'll see. I have to see how I feel, really.
Justin will go back to a movie theater. He'll once
Yes,
again be complaining to me
right.
about overpriced
It's
chicken tenders.
hoping the no, I'm gonna choose something else. I think I'll just stick with the popcorn.
Hoping that this time they don't give you hot honey instead of the honey mustard sauce.
Hope they give me the actual proper order. Yes, that'd be great. And then I guess some final complaining news for me. So Demon Slayer, the Infinity Castle film, is gonna return to North American theaters on March 6th. But yet, we still don't have a streaming day for this, Helen.
Just go to the theater.
Helen, when is it gonna? You gonna put Chainsaw Man on streaming soon? What? Where is Demon Slayer? You don't. You already made enough money. Please, just get it on there.
So I guess you're not happy to hear that Crunchyroll is instead adding the Me and Roboco anime film.
Happy for the many fans of Me and Roboco, whoever likes that series. Happy for them. But I have not read that series or watched the anime, so I can't share their enthusiasm.
Yeah, Disney Plus and Hulu are streaming the Rooster Fighter anime on March 15th, and Hulu has added the Precure anime English dub. This is the original Precure series, the dub for all 49 episodes. I could have sworn this has been on Hulu before. It's definitely been streaming before. I'm just more interested if they've actually finally got an HD stream or if it's still
Yes, it, no,
the
it's
SD
confirmed.
stream.
No, I looked in the forums. It's confirmed. It's the higher quality ones.
Yeah, because the reason I have not watched the original is because everywhere the sub version is just like a 480p stream, and it's like, I do not wish to watch anime in 480p in the year 2026. Or the year 2025 or 2024. You know, just we have moved past this.
Let's see. Criterion Collect. The Criterion Channel is gonna add Gunbuster, the movie, and the Ghost in the Shell standalone complex to their service. I believe it might sometime in March. I don't know if it's up now, but they said sometime in March. So look out for that if you have the Criterion Channel service.
They are also putting out a physical release of K-pop Demon Hunters.
Oh, I think I saw something about that happening. Right, I totally forgot about that. Of course, that leaves Netflix jail instead of anything else in Netflix jail. Ugh,
They also
so
took
many.
Frankenstein out of Netflix jail.
Somebody get there. There's. Do I have to go down the
Jailbreak,
list again?
jailbreak, jailbreak.
Ugh, can't get into that. I'm just gonna get angry again. Just let it go, Netflix. Let it go. We have. Oh, speaking of Netflix, Hideki Tsurashi's debut one-shot manga Dandelion is gonna get an anime series adaptation. It's gonna stream exclusively on Netflix starting in April. It's gonna have 7 episodes, so very interesting to see how they could turn a one shot into 7 episodes. But we will see what they want to do. Very, I guess, intrigued. And I'm already looking forward to them just dropping it all at once. Very, very good of them to do so.
Man,
And
I still haven't watched Love in a Prism because it dropped all at once, so I keep forgetting to do it.
then, and finally, the streaming news: Love Wave Corporation's new anime. Stream platform Oceanville has announced that they're going to stream in advance the English subtitled first episode of Do You Like Big Girls and America's Love Meter Malfunction. Basically, it's going to be like both March 14th in most, I guess, places. As a reminder,
Oceanvale's the porny site for people who can't remember.
it's yes, the porny site. And also, if you it Do You Like Big Girls sounds familiar. Seven Seas has released a single volume edition, and they also released a dick version of it. I don't remember. It was dick edition, dick version. I think it's one of those. But the point is, a big size version of that exists. So, yeah, you'll def it is also part of the Ghost Ship line. So yes, very 18 plus oriented.
Do you like big girls? Do you like big books?
They're just shouting out. Anybody's you just can't be shouting out preferences like that. Jeez, what's wrong with everybody?
All right. Weird news time?
Finally, weird news time.
All right. So this past weekend would mark the 30th anniversary of Pokemon. I went to a Pokemon Go event in DC where it was pretty fun because, there were a ton of people around, so it was very easy to do raids. I was sitting around doing one, and I saw a whole bunch of people walking by, following a route, and so I just like followed along so I didn't have to like look things up. And so, as part of the celebration for this, voice actor Rika Matsumoto did her first ever Let's Play video, streaming her playing the original Pokemon game. So she was playing Pokemon Red from the start up to the first battle for in-game rival and leaving Pallet Town. She is best known as the voice of Ash Ketchum, Satoshi. So,
No word if she's gonna do more, more streams. No, more, she's not sure yet. No, I don't think
yeah.
she's not sure there's gonna be more streams.
And Justin also noticed this one and put it in. And so, the Pokemon franchise unveiled its 30th anniversary logos, and there is one for I think every single Pokemon out there. There are 1,025 special logos.
Too many! Too many.
How many graphic designers did you need to have working on this to produce that many? This feels like a lot.
The only thing that surprises the hell is just I'm old. I'm becoming older by the minute, by the second.
I mean, that yes, that is how aging works.
I don't know why, but it just hurts. It just hurts.
I mean, that is also part of aging, you know, it hurting.
Japanese toy brand Branpresso revealed that they have a new prize for crane games, a clothes hanger based on Baki character Yujiro Hama's iconic split. It sounds like
this clothes hanger looks even weirder than you're imagining.
I'm saying like if you think like it sounds like what's that supposed to mean? But if you look at the character and that man is just wearing his underwear or maybe his shorts, he's wearing his shorts. He's just got this bulging Baki-ish muscles and he's just hanging just like that as a hanger. I am leaning toward this is the type of Japan that's I guess acceptable and yes, I think this is okay and I am, and then obviously they have the iconic. Caption, if you want to become stronger, hang me. I'm just letting you know, there are many different connotations when you say that.
You in English really or in Japanese as well, because in English, yeah.
There's a lot going on over here, guys. A lot going on.
Now, Baki ensures that your clothes will be well hung.
That is basically it. But we also have to know Japan, no part of, I think, what they like to get up to, so... it looks like from reading this, like, they're in Buddhist teachings and ceremonies in Japan. It looks like temples are facing a shrine as a priest, so I guess you turn to an AI Buddhoroid? What? So yes, the Japanese newspaper Mainichi Shimbun reported that a team at the Kyoto University Institute for the Future of Human Society developed a humanoid Buddhoroid robot. Dr. Seiji Kumagai's team trained the walking robot using Buddhist scriptures on a project's generative AI program, Buddha Plus. What? Why do we have generative AI for this?
I just feel like there have been plenty of, like, manga and sci-fi stories over the years about why you don't make robot priests.
You say this, and yet people just don't either care or don't want to listen to very sage advice and just stop. Wanting to do this, but it sounds like they're desperate. I think this desperation is going too far, though.
It's like the classic post, you know, the sci-fi author creates, you know, the new book, you know, don't invent the Torment Nexus, and then you got the tech groups being like, we have just invented the Torment Nexus from the new book, you know, don't invent the Torment Nexus. All right, so I'm surprised that we haven't had a crossover before of these two. There's going to be a crossover manga for Chibi Maruko-chan and Crayon Shin-chan in April. I guess this is the first time this has happened, although I am not familiar enough of either of these to know. I mean, yes, I am aware of their existence. I've just never followed either of these.
The most thing you know is that they're both really popular in Japan.
And the art styles work okay together.
Let's see. Obviously, the Olympics happened. Helen's desperately trying to catch up to any Olympic content she's missed before her subscription, I guess, lapses and stuff like that. But we also had some nerds, weebs, whatever you want to point it out, also show up.
I mean, have you seen Amber Glenn rattling off, like, all of the anime and manga she likes?
You know what's funny enough? When I was looking through the whole... this particular story, I found out that she was actually on the Crunchyroll podcast recently or last month, and I'm like, what? well, look at that. I guess she really is just into anime like that. But yes, we are in a generation where we got Olympians in anime; they really like it. And in this case, Elisa Liu, who stood out very much in the Winter Olympics. I hope you followed her exploits and her triumphs really in that whole entire thing.
She almost missed one of the competitions because J.D. Vance's Secret Service blockade was so big, like, it nearly kept her and her coach from making the team event.
That's actually pretty crazy. That's also weird, too. What is happening here?
They brought, like, multiple planes of things, including one just of food for J.D. Vance and his, like, family.
But there was a... I know on Twitter it got viral. I'm not sure Blue Sky... but it got viral about her with a Pochita, obviously from Chainsaw Man, the Pochita plush. And everybody was wondering, where did it come from? Well, apparently in Japan, they have some theories. So on February 7th, there was a Twitter user who thanked Lou for taking the Pochita plush to the Olympics. The fans said they gifted her with a plush at the Grand Prix at the figure skating fountain in Nagoya in December. And it seems the timeline matches up since Lou began toting a Pochita on camera at the U.S. Figure Skating Championships in early January, just 1 month after the Grand Prix final. And then, of course, she also posted an Instagram story with the plush before the Olympic opening ceremony. Although it doesn't sound like she actually carried it into the, like the opening ceremony, so at least it's
Yeah, I
short
think I've seen
utility.
her holding it like in the kiss and cry after events and stuff like that, but I don't think she was toting it around in the parade of athletes.
But the point is, weebs, Helen.
You say.
Anime is just getting really popular, Helen. It is. It
I mean,
is.
we are both well aware of this as we are two weebs, so. And then our final bit of weird news. Weird is not cor the correct word for this. Hubris and short-sightedness. And possibly, yes, it's weird that you don't know why this is stupid. Would possibly be the better descriptions. Amazon Prime's vice president for the Asia Pacific and Australia and New Zealand region, Gwavara Gandhi, stated during the Prime Video Presents International Origins presentation in London on February 12th that he wants the streaming service to become the preferred destination for anime globally. At the presentation, Gandhi stated that anime is, quote, a category truly experiencing explosive growth, and then added, given that we are the home for the best anime in Japan, we want to become the preferred destination for anime content globally too. Which just made Justin and I like shake our heads and sigh and be like, if you want people to come for your anime globally, you need to fucking advertise it. You know, you need to have like consistent upload schedules. You need to be more open about what you've licensed. You need to not sneak in like AI generated dubs when you think people aren't looking and will enjoy it. Like, obviously, not all these things are within this guy's control. Possibly even many of those things, but just, my dude, this is just hubris. This is that kid who was always kind of mid at his class and his like school assignments, swearing he was going to be, you know, like a really great doctor someday, and you're just like, why doesn't he get it yet? He's not.
And then just to also point out too, like even not they're not AI dubs. Like I heard the Yakuza, the Gokuro Yakuza, that ninja anime aired last year. That had a horrible, horrible dub. Somehow even worse than friggin' Flowers dub. they've had some missteps here and there, especially if it's not like partner related, like the Gundam G-Gux one. If it's not like that, then their other dubs are just not up to par compared to everybody else's. So yeah, so as Helen mentioned, this is a really hilarious comic considering anime strike happened and they obviously sunsetted that after not very long, and now years later, yes, anime's gotten very popular. Now they want to jump back into it. The crossover, the just I mean the notion of just going back into anime well like this is just really hilarious from that respect, from that perspective. And then just say these comments when they don't really advertise any anime they have. Like, are they even advertising the Darwin incident? Are they even doing any of that? I think at this point, ANN's advertising it more than they are. I had no further thoughts because this was a crazy episode and somewhat a sad episode, too. I had nothing more to say.
Yeah, I think I'm done. I think I'm ready to go eat dinner or something.
Right, so where can we find you, Helen?
You can find me over on Blue Sky, where Justin is not, at Wandering Dreamer. You can find the other podcast I co-host under the name Manga in Your Ears. We recently did an episode on Hirayasumi and crap, I'm forgetting the other one. We did an episode recently. We will continue doing episodes, like we've been doing for years and years at this point. And you can, like I said, the title of that podcast is Manga in Your Ears, and we can be found on Blue Sky at Taiku Podcasts. That's Taiku Podcast. And that is also the name of the website where we have just consolidated all of Corey's many, many podcasts at this point. Justin?
You can still find me. I'm sorry. You can still find me on the literally dying Twitter app, and or what's it called, X now, they call it X. It's literally dying. Like, some things are just not working at the moment. On Twitter at @comedy_nomi, you can follow me there, or you can check out the the OSG socials, so Twitter, Mastodon, Blue Sky, and get all the nice pre-orders and everything. I should get back to posting a bunch of pre-order stuff this week. So close to catch up to everything. Hopefully for the final time, I'm just not behind everything. You can obviously check out the OSG Con for reviews and futures. You can also subscribe to OSG Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or add it to any RSS service you have. And feel free to leave a rating and review. Always good to do all that. Until next time, everybody. Bye.
Bye.